Today we celebrate one of those feasts or memorials that can make us look, to outsiders at least, a little too crazy about Mary, a little too much like we think she's the Savior and not Jesus. I said to outsiders. There's a television evangelist named John MacArthur. He seeks consistently to make the Catholic Church look very bad on this issue and others. To make his point, he quotes a theologian from the 12th century about Mary's necessary role in salvation. He calls it exposing the idolatry of Mary worship. If you come across him on the radio or television, really, you must turn the channel. He will sound like he is giving basic Christian teaching, but then he condemns a billion Catholics and Orthodox to hell, and so we must not be fooled by such venom. We might even look at how the original Protestant so-called reformers rejected the teaching on Mary. That really wasn't their issue at all. Only later, seeking to separate themselves further from the Catholic Church, did their hatred of Mary or any kind of Marian theology surface. And this was part of really a movement which keeps coming back called iconoclasm, which is the hatred of religious images as heretical, and it happens in every age. According to tradition, not specifically within the Bible, but although the Bible certainly undergirds and provides a foundation for this belief, the Blessed Virgin Mary was consecrated to God when she was 3 years of age by her parents, St. Anne and St. Joachim. They presented her before God in the Jerusalem temple where she was to be educated and raised. And this dedication was apparently a result of a promise that St. Anne had made to God while she suffered from many years of infertility. The liturgical honoring of this event appeared in the East much earlier than it did in the West, but it's been with us for some time. Now we go to today's readings and see if we can make a connection there. Eleazar was 90 years old at the time of a great persecution. Antiochus Epiphanes IV took on the title Epiphanes. It's the same word as the feast of our Epiphany, which means a manifestation of God. So such was his extreme arrogance and pride. There's always a tendency, isn't there, among the tyrants of history to take on or assume for themselves a certain kind of divine attribute. Many Jews, though, under the pressure, began to go along with this. Many in Israel were unfaithful because of the powerful cultural desire to get rid of the signs of religious identity. If you had even parts of the Torah in your home, the Word of God, you would be executed publicly. And the big question then, as it is now, was whether the people will assimilate into the culture around them, whether they will go along with that culture to make it easier on themselves. Even Eliezer's friends asked him to pretend to eat pork. Now, that's not an issue, of course, for us Christians, but it was part of the Jewish law and still is. So his friends asked him to pretend to eat pork so he could prolong his life. But even they turn against him when he says, "Should I pretend to go along with the world in order to gain a bit of extra life, but at the same time lead others astray?" That's a bit of a paraphrase of what he says. He says, "No, I will leave behind a witness for the holy laws of God." So it's not just living a good life that matters, but also setting an example, especially to the young. Zacchaeus, in the gospel, on the other hand, is not at the end of his life, doesn't seem like it, and he's not being tortured except for social ridicule. However, he is longing for something more than wealth and status. He has not led a holy life like Eleazar has, but his heart is ready for conversion. Like Eleazar, he is willing to look foolish to do what is right. This is certainly a kind of martyrdom. It is a putting to death the goals and desires of earthly life for a heavenly treasure. And so he receives Jesus into his home, his life, and his heart. His conversion is total. He begins by giving up any ambition for riches, followed with the intention to share his goods. St. Gregory of Nazianzen says that when we do good, we must do it not sadly, but with joy. And so we have these two examples from the great people of history, Eleazar, and Zacchaeus. The way of the world says, just fit in with the culture. Just do what everyone else is doing. Just eat the forbidden flesh, the forbidden fruit. It's good. It's easier. And that's why the world hates Jesus, who consistently proclaims that there is a way of salvation and there is a way of the lost. I guess I should say it the other way around. Salvation to the right. But there is another kind of fruit, one that leads away from fear of death and towards eternal life. Jesus never stops calling out to the lost. And that's actually all of us, without exception. So Jesus invites us not just to a holy life, but also to a holy death. Do not be afraid of death. He holds no power over those who have faith. Our Lord is waiting for us to receive from him the gift of the joy of eternal life. And so, to summarize, we look at Eleazar, who makes an offering of his life to the Lord rather than a pagan sacrifice, so that the young will have a holy example to follow. Zacchaeus publicly offers up half of what he has to make reparation for his sins. Mary's parents offer their beloved daughter totally to the Lord. And we know that this sacrifice changed the whole world and the possibility for our salvation. Each of these had joy in their souls to give what they had to the Lord. We learn from all three that the key to love is joyful sacrifice. And so we might begin our sacrifice by tithing, for example, by giving 10% of our income to the Lord. But at some point, we enter onto the path of total self-giving so that we might joyfully hear the Lord say to us, today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.